Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Today Show. I am your host, Julia Romaldi. And my co-host is Jay Stoyan, CEO of the Disability Channel. It's great to be on the show with you, Jay. This is my first show as a host, and I get to have the boss on with me as my co-host. How exciting is that? Welcome, Jay.
Well, thank you, Julie. I really appreciate the opportunity today to be beside you on our flagship Today Show, Toronto, as we're broadcasting across Ontario, across Canada, in the U.S., and worldwide. And we are showcasing abilities and employment opportunities and media for persons with disabilities and veterans. So I really thank you for this opportunity, Julie. We're really excited as we have two wonderful guests on. So why don't you introduce your guest and I'll do mine, and then let's talk a little bit before we take our first commercial break.
Okay. So my guest today is Christelle Chow. I'll be talking with Christelle about her life as a dancer, teacher, a business owner, and an advocate. We will learn how Christelle is leading the way through dance to people with disabilities.
That's very exciting.
Can you tell us about your guest?
Sure. Our second guest will be all the way from Seattle in the USA, Jim Spear. Jim is the founder and CEO of Mobility Support Solutions, a very innovative mobile transportation company. I'm going to let him explain what he does, but he's got a really great niche and it really helps our community. So we're really excited to have Jim Spear on from Mobility Support Solutions all the way from Seattle. But before we have on our guest, tell us a little bit about what's going on today in the news, Julia.
Well, today I want to talk about my big news. I got my vaccination and my family got theirs. So I'm very happy that everybody's vaccinated. And unfortunately, we had snow quite a bit yesterday. So I'm really looking forward to summer when I get to go camping and enjoying the lakes around here.
That's wonderful. You know what? I know a lot of people that are tuning in probably have never heard of Timmins. So why don't you give our viewers a little bit of an education piece on where Timmins is located to Toronto and what you guys go through year round up in Timmins.
Okay, so Timmins, Ontario has normally have lots of bears. Lots of bears, and it's 8 hours from Toronto.
That's far. That is like really far, like 8 hour drive. Like that's far. That's like that's halfway to Florida. Basically, because Florida is about 16 or 20 hours. So it's a little bit less than Florida. So I love Timmins. I don't get up north too often. The furthest I can go up there is probably, I think, Parry Sound, maybe a little bit further than that. But yeah, it's always good to incorporate the Great White North. I know we were talking, I was tweeting online about your MPs out there, your NDPs out there. So I want to give a big shout. Who are our NDPs up in Timmins, Julie? You can mention them.
So we have Charlie Angus and Gil Biso.
Excellent. So I want to give a big shout out to the boys up in Timmins. Thank you so much for taking care of Julie. And we have to get up to Timmins sometime as we want to get our employment programs up in Timmins to give opportunities to persons with disabilities and veterans, just like we do down here in Toronto and across the GTA from Peel to Halton. So what I want to do before we take our first break and we introduce our guests, I just want to give a little bit of updates of what's going on. I want to thank some people. You're going to see our platform again in the Toronto Star coming up. We're going to be advertising employment opportunities for media. So I want to thank the Star. We're also, if you missed it, we're also had a wonderful interview on Sirius XM Canadian Radio, which went right across Canada and the U.S. So I want to thank the guys. We have some wonderful shows coming up this week, including this one, obviously, Today's Show. We have our veteran show on Wednesday. We have our sports show, Press Box, with Dennis Rasmussen and ex-NHLer Jeremy Roenick. So that's very exciting from the Chicago Blackhawks. We're going to be talking about the NHL playoffs. And then we have Frank Soroka is going to be doing a socially served show that's focusing on employment opportunities, working with the ODSP agencies across Ontario, just providing more awareness, more opportunity, more education and information. So we're really on a roll here. So I really want to thank our team. Our team works so hard. Our team works so hard. I love it. So, and I want to thank, if you want to check out our YouTube, subscribe. We're on Your TV today at 12 noon, 1230, I believe it is, in Halton and Milton. So we're a wealth of information. Julie, why don't we do this? Why don't you take us out and we're going to come back, or you're going to come back with your first guest.
How's that? We'll be going to take a quick commercial break right now. When we return, I'll be chatting with Christelle Chow, who is the owner of Dance Possibilities.
Hi, this is Dave Stevens with the Disability Channel.
An inability to break out. I'm sitting by the door on the second floor, losing my 7-year war. It's not an illusion, so why the exclusion?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's about you. So. You
say you're a disability dynamo. Joining me and welcome to this beautiful Travelers Championship.
I only want one accolade from you.
So my story is unique. It's amazing. But it's not anything that you guys don't have inside of you. I'm not a hero. I'm not anybody special. I'm just this guy without legs that went out, and I just did it.
Stats are way the Democrats. The diplomats and the bureaucrats.
This is probably your first interview down on the ground on your butt and stuff like
first
that?
First time ever,
all
baby.
All right. Stay with us and the Disability Channel.
Welcome back to the Today Show. I am here with Christelle, who is a dancer, dance teacher, a business owner, and an advocate. Get ready to be inspired, everyone. So let's get started with Christelle. To begin, Christelle, please tell us a little bit about yourself and your interest in dance.
Oh, yeah. So my name is Christelle. I was actually born and raised in Timmins, so that's kind of a cool mutual fact about Julia and I, two guests from Timmins, Ontario. That's pretty cool. Me and dance. I started dancing when I was younger. I started Filipino folk dancing from a very young age, and I eventually started doing more studio dancing, tap, jazz, ballet, point, hip hop, some acro, and right out of high school, I decided to move here to Toronto to become a professional dancer.
Wow, that's awesome. Christelle, can you share some of your previous dance experiences with us? And we would like to learn more about your story.
Absolutely. So when I moved to Toronto, I had the pleasure to have the opportunity to dance for some amazing companies and organizations. In terms of my experience as a professional dancer, I danced for the Toronto Raptors, the NBA Toronto Raptors. I was able to do a lot of work with Much Music, the Pan Ams, closing and opening ceremonies, and a lot of other random different opportunities, such as music videos, stage performances. We've done quite a bit for Pride. We've done some TV work, some commercial work. So it's been an absolute roller coaster of so many different opportunities, but it's been, I don't regret any one of them. They've all been such an amazing reference experience.
Can you tell us a little bit about your experiences teaching dance?
So I started teaching dance from a pretty young age. I was a teaching assistant when I was 12. When I was dancing in Timmins, my dance teacher gave me the opportunity to be a teaching assistant. So I started off my teaching career, my learning as a teacher's assistant from the young age of 12. So it's been many years, and my teaching has evolved more and more the more I've been able to have the opportunity to meet more people, dance with different groups, and more of my teaching has really evolved when I moved to Toronto and I had the opportunity to help manage more dance companies and organizations. I managed and helped teach a company called The Girls Club, which was a commercial dance heels company. So we were teaching amazing young women how to dance in heels, prepare themselves for their professional dance career. And now my teaching has evolved primarily for teaching different individuals, children, youth, adults, persons with disabilities, and creating inclusive practices for other teachers to have the opportunity to create more inclusive and accessible dance classes.
Wow, that's awesome. I still remember when you were with Special Olympics and I took part in your virtual dance class.
Yeah.
So, Castell, how did you come up with the idea of Dance Possibilities? I love the name, Dance Possibilities.
First of all, the name always makes me laugh because I'm such a lover for all those like play on words. So that's kind of the word Dance Possibilities really kind of suits myself, my personalities. But Dance Possibilities really came about kind of in my early university years. In university, my teachers, my professors, all really great people, provided me with a lot of opportunities to work in programming. I've been working at a Variety Village, Holland Borby Kids Rehabilitation Hospital, Ability Center, a lot of great places that create programs for individuals with disabilities. And for me, the Dance Possibilities came about after gaining all this experience in creating and developing these programs. And I figured I love dance so much. I love this work in inclusion. Why not merge them together into one beautiful practice? And it really stemmed after this trip I did to Mexico where I was teaching. It was the first time really kind of creating inclusive dance classes in Mexico. And I thought, this makes my heart feel so whole. I want to do this full time here in Canada, in Toronto, where I'm from.
When you're teaching dance, how do you make sure different learners are all included?
It really depends on the class, because I want to say every single one of my dance classes look different depending on who wants to participate. So depending on whether they need, if they're a visual learner, if they're more auditory, if they need to write things down, my classes will range based on their needs. So usually when people sign up for my class, I usually kind of go through a bit of an enrollment process, especially for my longer programs, for me to get a better idea as to the class I'm about to teach. I put different tools, different strategies in place to make sure that we get everybody involved. But for the most part, I do a lot of co-facilitation. So I always make sure my assistants, my teaching assistants, my co-facilitators, my other teachers who are involved with me in the class kind of have an idea as to how the class will run. And if there are anything that pop up, we kind of tag team, we collaborate, and we make sure we address any needs, anything that might pop up in the class. At the end of the day, I usually say yes to everybody. And once I say yes, it's one of those, what are the right steps do I need to put into place in order to ensure that everybody feels included? And inclusion and belongingness feels and looks different for every person. So I always make sure I really get to know my students very well. And I communicate a lot with their parents just to make sure I dot my I's, cross my T's, making sure we know exactly what types of things to implement in our dance classes.
Christelle, we're going to take a commercial break right now. We'll be back in a moment.
Desiderata. Go placidly amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender. Be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others. Even to the dull and the ignorant, they too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexatious to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world must not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is perennial. It is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be. And whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful and strive to be happy.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Christelle. I am excited to learn more about how she's changing the world of dance. Christelle, what would your advice be with someone with a disability who wants to be involved in dance?
Well, the thing is, our dance community is evolving. We're learning more. The thing is, right now, what's the biggest challenge, especially in the dance community, is making sure we have spaces that are accessible, that people can actually get past the point of entry. So for individuals with disabilities who are interested in dance, kind of doing our research right now, there are a lot of great organizations such as mine, Dance Possibilities, the Danceability Movement, Bust a Move Dance, a lot of organizations that are very specific to individuals with disabilities. And for myself, what we're trying to do really is to educate our current dance communities, our current studio owners, to kind of develop the tools and resources that we need so that we can make our studios accessible to anybody. So it's not as hard to find all these individual places. Of course, with COVID, it's a little challenging because a lot of our dance classes are primarily virtual. So for individuals with disabilities, I think reaching out to some organizations such as myself to help direct them to the proper studios that we know are accessible, that have the tools and resources, that are ready to provide them with a safe space where they feel included and belong, I think that's probably one of the best places to start in terms of looking for these types of opportunities.
I love to educate others, teachers. So, Christelle, can you tell our audience how you connected with Special Olympics and what you have done with Special Olympics?
So I have a very special place in my heart for Special Olympics. I've been doing a lot with Special Olympics for some time now. I've done a lot in terms of their school sports festivals. So I've been very involved in that area of their programming. So developing different programming focus on sports, physical literacy. So a lot of that, I was very involved in their youth games, their most recent youth games. So I helped with their school festival there, where I helped develop the manual and programming for their students and ambassadors to come in and educate and facilitate programs and activities with different schools, very specific to programs in special need programs. And also in terms of, well, the class I also did with yourself, where we did the virtual stay-at-home kind of resources, being able to provide virtual dance classes there, which you did a fantastic job. And then the final thing I've done with Special Olympics, I was a health and research program project coordinator. So I was very involved in terms from a research side, kind of learning more about people's different experiences from a qualitative standpoint. So those were kind of all the things, and I'm sure there will be more to come, but those have been that's my involvement with regards to Special Olympics.
Thank you. I had so much fun doing the virtual dance with you too. So, Christelle, When you look into the future, what are your dreams for dance possibilities?
Oh, this is always such a funny question, because I always tell myself my dream is that my role in terms of being an inclusive educator doesn't exist anymore. That's like my dream, because that means we've done the work, we've done, you know, that's our job's been done. But right now, in terms of my dream, what I'm really hoping for Dance Possibilities is really to serve as a really great educational platform for a lot of dance teachers, studio owners, adjudicators, competition owners, for them to really kind of allow to educate not only themselves, but those teachers who are affiliated with them on inclusive practices. So there's not only the one person in the studio who's educated, it's everybody, because inclusion is such a collaborative piece. So for me, it's important that everybody's kind of take their part, they play their role in terms of kind of creating and moving forward towards being a more inclusive dance community. So I guess my dream is to really see as many individuals with disabilities as possible in these studios, to see that diversity, that equality, that inclusion, to see more opportunities evolve from our educational platform.
Yes, inclusion is very important. Thank you for that information. So, Christelle, finally, if anyone listening that wants to get more information about Dance Possibilities, where can they get the further information?
So you can contact us. We are on Instagram. I believe it's dance_possibilities with an A, PossaBilities. Dance Possibilities. Myself is Christelle Jean _C if you want to contact me directly to know more about what I do. And we're on Facebook as well with the same social media link. We are there. We're always actively answering as much as possible. We have some great online educational modules coming up soon for anyone who's interested and wants to develop their teaching practice in dance and inclusion. So yeah, that's where you can find us. We're really, really excited for all the things that are about to come. And we really appreciate you having us on your show today.
Christelle, thank you for sharing the exciting opportunities you created in the dance community and the disability community. What a great story. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Julia. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks again. We are going to take a quick commercial break right now. We'll be back in a moment with Jay Stoyan and his guest, Jim Spear.
Would you like to donate to our employment programs? Please follow the link below to donate through PayPal. All proceeds go to our programs.
Welcome back to the show. Julia, that was a wonderful interview. Wow, you guys mixed dance with sports. Very informative. That was really nice. I like the way you tied in Timmins and your own experience with the coach. So that was a great interview. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks, Jay.
So stick around. I like you to stick around. What we want to do now is we want to change course a little bit, and I want to introduce on the show veteran and founder and CEO Jim Spear from Mobility Support Solutions, all the way from Seattle. Jim, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it. And again, thank you for your service. We really appreciate it. So I was talking before in our intro about how unique and innovative this is. So rather than me explain your company platform, why don't you explain to our listeners, and I'm sure myself and Julia are going to have some great follow-up questions for you, Jim.
Sure. Yeah, what we do is we provide for the mobility challenge community something that wasn't there until 2013 when we put it together. And what it amounts to is most every other emergency roadside package that's out there, whether it's CAA or in the U.S. it's AAA or your own insurance or whatever, is really only about 50% of the solution. What we do is we provide 100% of the solution. And what we do is we not only pick up the vehicle, the van, most of the time with the tow truck, we send an accessible vehicle at the same time so that the people are not left on the side of the road, because that's really how this whole thing started. Was I heard a story from a vet that said he was left on the side of the road when he had this, you know, towing emergency.
Share that, yeah, share that story, Jim, because that was quite interesting and really it sort of put the pieces together what you're talking about today.
Yeah, that's true. As you said, I'm a disabled vet, actually. I was at my own appointment at the VA hospital in Seattle. And I was sat next to a guy that was in a wheelchair, missing an arm and leg. And I've never been afraid to talk with anybody. So I just started chatting with him. And most of the time when you get conversations going, you know, it's about what do you do for a living? And so that came up. And I told him that I was in the emergency roadside business with insurance companies. And he says, oh, I had the opportunity to use that kind of a product a few weeks ago. And I said, oh, how did it work for you? He said, well, it worked great on my van, but he said they left me on the side of the freeway. And I thought, how can they do that? I mean, what do you mean? And he said, well, I'm not going to ride on a flatbed truck in my van, and I can't get up in the cab because I got a 400-pound chair. So he said, I had to wheel myself off the freeway about a mile and then got to a strip mall and waited for my wife for a couple of hours to come and pick me up. And I went, wow, you've got to be kidding me. And he went off to his appointment. But there was another military guy sitting in front of us. I knew he was a Marine because he had a Marine Corps T-shirt on. And he says, hey, I overheard your guys' conversation. He says, that's my greatest fear. Well, right away, that surprised me because Marine says fear. Mm. That doesn't make any sense. I said, what are you talking about? And he says, well, I've got a wife and three small children. He says, I think I can pretty much fend for myself, but what do I do with them? And I went, man, I just never even thought about this. So I went back to the office and Googled it and found that there was nothing, absolutely nothing that provided for this kind of circumstance in disabled life. And I thought, oh man. And so when I went to my fulfillment company, I said, look, I'd like to do something for veterans and provide this kind of a service. Can you help me put it together? And they said, sure. Well, in process of vetting all this material, I found that there was in the US Census in 2010, there was a box on the census that I don't even remember seeing, but it asked, are you mobility challenged in any way? Mm. 54 million people checked that box. That's 20% of our population. And I went, oh man, that's the most underserved market I've ever experienced in my almost 55 years of selling, you know? And so I quickly put it together. It took about 6 months. We hit the market in 2013. And it's been an amazing ride. To provide the service that we have hundreds of thousands of people that are on our program. And to hear their stories is really amazing because some of them lived in such compromise. You know, they have problems with their body temperature. They have all kinds of things. We got to get to them really quick. And so that's what we do. We provide that. And plus other, you know, bells and whistles that make our program very unique in the sense of just providing for the disabled community.
I love the way you describe the story, because I just want to sort of add to it, because if you're not in the game, it's hard to relate and it's hard to find solutions. So I'll give an example on our end. Is there was a committee that was putting up a accessible wheelchair panel on the wall, right? But the people that were doing it, none of the panel, and nothing against them, none of them were in a wheelchair. So they didn't think that the panel has to be low enough so the person that's in the wheelchair can hit it. And they put it up too high. So I had one of our staff members go into the washroom, and they said, Jay, I see this all the time, because the people that are not relatable, they miss it because they don't know. But so we had to tell them, hey, can you move the button down a little bit? Because the people that are sitting in a wheel, they can't reach the button. So it's kind of like what you said, like, well, what do the people do after you pick up the car? Like, where do those people go? But so unless you're experiencing it, you miss it sometimes. So really, thank you so much for sharing that, Jim. Julie, do you have maybe a question you'd like to jump in and ask Jim with?
I do have a question for Jim. Jim, Do you know if there are any services like yours in Northern Ontario?
Well, we provide the service. We're the only ones in Canada also. We're the only ones in the U.S. I don't have any competition. I haven't had for 8 years. And so we provide in the U.S. and Canada, we cover the whole area. So it might take a little bit to get to Timmins where you're from, but yeah. but we'll get there as soon as we can. And I'm hoping that it doesn't have 10 feet of snow, but most of the time you have lots of snow. So I just don't want to fight the bears. That's all I, you know, we'll send somebody
That's a great question. Well, you know, we'll be more than happy to help you out and spread the word up here, because I think what you're doing is a fantastic service, and it's so needed. Like you said, 54 million people in the States who are mobility challenged. I know we don't have 54 million, but I know we have a few. Can I ask you? Sorry.
If the numbers are right, though, if the numbers are right, you have 20% just like we do.
Of course. Oh, yeah, for sure we do. For sure we do. 100%. I can tell you that right by our own data that there's a lot of people up here disabled who would need your service. Can I ask you now, how was the reception regarding the VA, or did you let them know that you're doing this? Are they supporting you? Do they love it? Thumbs up, or they don't know about it too much?
Well, the way that we've been operating up to this point is that we've been dealing with mobility van dealers. We've just now pushed into the retail market the 1st of March. And it's going well. Things are going well there. But as far as direct application by the VA, they have an indirect way that would they associate with us, and that our program is put on every van, actually with the second largest manufacturer in the world. They put it on every van just as a courtesy to the customer. They want to make sure the customer is taken care of, and then they give them the opportunity to really buy a couple more years if they want to do a couple more years. In the VA system in the States, what they do is they provide the van and the conversion for the van. And then they provide for our program at the same time.
So wow, that's wonderful. And I understand you are nationwide, right? So people can contact you in every state, all 50 states or whatever, and in Canada. And now, was there any other services that your clients or our listeners that should know about that are attached to your main service, which is obviously accessibility pickup, I guess you could call it a little bit? Or
Yeah, we do have a few other things, actually. When it comes to the conversion piece, anything that's electronic on it or electric on it, if you have a problem with it, we will pay 1 hour's worth of travel time or technician's time to be able to troubleshoot that for you. Most of the time, it's a reset button. We're finding it's about 90% of the time it's a reset button. Okay. But when it's not, we'll pay for an hour's worth of travel for a technician to get there. The same thing is true with the wheelchair or scooter that they might have. If they have a problem with their wheelchair or scooter, we'll do the same kind of thing. Just call us. When you're a member of our program, they call us, and we will have a technician get back to them or come and take care of them. And then now, a couple of things that we do, if I could add to it, couple more things to do. It's almost impossible for a mobility challenged person that's in a chair to change their own tire. So if they have a flat, and by the way, which is something that's unique, I'm finding in the mobility community, the vans most of the time don't have a spare nowadays because of they have to drop the bottom and there's no room for it. So they're sitting out there with a flat tire. And the only way that we come in, we get involved, we tow them to the nearest repair facility, which would be a tire store, and they get their tire repaired. We pay for that repair up to $25. And if the tire needs to be replaced, we'll replace it up to $150.
Wow, that's very nice. That's a very nice stuff. Now, I'm going to ask just a viewer question, but do you have to be disabled to use your services?
No.
There you go, right? You don't have to be disabled, right? You can just be an able body on the side of the road.
Yeah, you could be. I mean, I just think about the soccer moms. That's a great question, by the way, Jay. I think about the soccer moms or the older folks like myself, you know. My wife, or another thing, my wife would not get up in a tow truck. I don't know about yours, but my wife wouldn't get up in a tow truck, you know.
Yeah.
So we would send an accessible vehicle if they wanted it. It's not just for the disabled community. It's for the whole community at large.
Yeah, I figured it would be. Like, you're not going to cater just to anybody who needs help or support. I'm sure you're there. Now, if people want to – so – Because I think this is a great service that you're offering, Jim. Is there anything that the channel can do to further support this across the nation, across Canada, across the world? Can we loan any more support for you guys?
Well, I sent you our website. You know, just if you could just use that website and send it out to whoever.
Okay.
And all they do is they get on the website, take care of everything there, decide which program that they want, and away they go. And
can you give out the website as we speak? Can you give it out?
Yeah, it's mobilityroadsideassistance.com. Mobilityroadsideassistance.com.
And I know because earlier you're talking, you're a veteran, and I know you deal with one of our associates in the U.S., Anna Maria, from our Veterans to Prosperity. So if there's anything we can also do to support the veterans, please do let us know, as it's our dear to our heart. And I really want to thank you for coming on today, Jim. We love Seattle. Julie, before we let Jim go, do you have any more questions for him? Or
I do. I love that. I will love to let my MP and MPP know about your company. And it is great to hear that people with mobility challenges can count on Jim's company for support. Thanks for making a difference in keeping people safe.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you, Jim. We really appreciate everybody for tuning in today. Again, if you want to find out more information about Jim, again, one more time, Jim, the website?
Yes, mobilityroadsideassistance.com.
Thank you so much. And if people want to find out more information regarding the channel, you can go to www.thedisabilitychannel.ca. Julie, really thank you for having me on your show today. I really appreciate it. Loved our guests. Very informative. Lots of fun. Until next time, what is it, Julie?
Well, that's the end of our show today. Thank you so much for tuning in with Jay and I and our amazing guests, Christelle Chow and Jim Spears. Jay, do you have any final thoughts?
Just stay safe, that's all. Just stay safe out there, everybody.